He has done it, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Montgomery has birdied hole number 18. And we have a new course record at 8 under par. Minus 8 is the new course record just set here by Taylor Montgomery, who is comfortably in the lead, almost adding insult to injury there. 22 under par through 4 rounds now.
On this episode of the Mod Golf Podcast, we travel to Las Vegas to cover the inaugural Major Series of Putting Championships. So what Major Series of Putting, or MSOP as they're called, has created here, I consider a truly disruptive innovation. Because not only have they created a new golf event, but they've created a new sport competition format. To give you a bit of background here, MSOP has staged over 200 local qualifying events during 2017, all of this culminating in the Las Vegas Championships. So all the winners of those local qualifiers and anybody else that wants to come to Las Vegas, put down some money and take their chances with their putter, are allowed to compete. To stage an event in true Las Vegas style, MSOP needed to build a venue. A venue that is innovative, unexpected, and unlike anything golf has seen before. And they built a temporary stadium one block off the Las Vegas Strip behind the Planet Hollywood Casino. 6 months ago on a season one episode of the Mod Golf Podcast, we were introduced to MSOP and we were so intrigued that we decided to do a follow-up episode here in Las Vegas. I'm your host, Colin Weston, and on this episode of the Mod Golf Podcast, I spent 4 days in Las Vegas talking to the fans, the players, and the creators of the MSOP Las Vegas Championships. We flew into Las Vegas the evening of day three of their 10-day event. Our flight got in late, but even at 10:30, I decided to go over to the stadium to see if anything was going on. And there was. As I walked towards the entrance of MSOP Stadium, I could already feel the energy pulsing through the venue. I can sense something new, something exciting was happening here. I expected everything to be winding down, but in fact the opposite was true. I arrived during the third round of one of the daily competitions, and even though it was almost 11 o'clock at night, it became clear very quickly this was no ordinary golf tournament. After spending the first hour just taking all this in, I met up with MSOP president and creator Guillaume Bélin to give us an overview. So I'm here with MSOP president and visionary Guillaume Bélin. Of course, Guillaume, I had you on the Mod Golf Podcast a few months ago talking about this event, and it was such a great conversation that I said to you, it's like, hey, we got to get it down here and do a podcast on the ground here. And it's been amazing the last 4 days. So first of all, congratulations on what you've created here in Las Vegas at the MSOP Stadium.
Thank you very much. I'm glad you like it.
I do very much. And you know, I'm an architect and a bit of a design snob. If I didn't, I'd let you know. I have to say, Guillaume, at night, this thing just lights up. Like this ring of lights you have, it's like a jewel. And it just adds to the drama and just the overall look at this thing. That's not saying it doesn't look fantastic here during the day, but even at night, it looks great. So, hey, can you tell us now that you've actually been here for a couple of days on the ground and you're going to be here a few more over the week, what are the coolest things that have revealed itself that you didn't even expect beforehand of starting to host some tournaments here?
Obviously, this is the first time we're hosting that event, so we're doing a lot of learning in terms of programming, in terms of format, in terms of how we set up the field of play. But so far, it's been amazing. I mean, we started this week by hosting 8 corporate events for golfer, but also for non-golfer. And what we experience is how non-golfer enjoy this experience of playing 18 holes under the light at night with a giant leaderboard with their name on it. So this competitive socializing kind of aspect of it for non-golfer was striking. The other thing is that we've hosted very nice event like the Stroke Play Championship. We brought people from all over the country and all over the world to compete in one of the main events. And what I found out, and that's exactly why we're building this thing, is that at the end, on the top of the leaderboard, on the top 10 players, we had 5 professionals and 5 amateurs. This is exactly what MSOP is all about, is to level the playing field, to allow like 10, 15 handicap golfer to compete on the same level than the golf pro and even tour pro, because we add tour pro. And that leads me to one of the other event that we hosted, which is the All-Pro Championship, which was just great. We had a Champions Tour player like the likes of Brad Faxon, Tommy Armour, John Cook were here. We had the PGA Tour pro playing in the Shriners this week. Sam Ryder that played in the competition, and we had like Colt Knott, Web.com players, and a bunch of mini tour pro and caddies even that played in that competition. And what I liked about this one was the format. Started with stroke play events, stroke play rounds, and then moving into a match play competition, which on this surface, on this stadium, it was just amazing to watch.
It has been incredible. And you talk about leveling the playing field. One of the things that I loved is you have women and men playing head-to-head. And I spoke to a few women. I interviewed them for the podcast. I spoke about their experience here. And some of them competed very, very well here and really held their own. I would say probably less than 5%, maybe 10% of the players are women. But that's a real opportunity for you in the future. Not only team play, but also getting even more women involved in this format.
Definitely. And like this first year is all about bringing ambassador on board with us. And let's say the 10 women that are here today will be in the future great ambassador talking about this concept, like in their own circle. One of the cool thing is the greatest champion of putt-putt of all time is a woman, a young woman, I think she's 21 years old. Her parents were here. Watching the old competition because they want her to compete next year. So there's a lot of opportunity, but I think it's definitely a younger audience, women, the way people dress, the way people interact, the fact that we have music. So we're tapping in a younger audience for that specific event.
And I love that. The fact the dress code is what people want it to be. I've seen people dress like they're going to the gym. Some are like they're going to hang out with their friends. Some are looking at a bit of a punked out look. And you also have some that have that formal golf attire too. So you have the whole spectrum of that, which is great. One of the things I wanted to ask you about too, and I know this being really a laboratory or a test kitchen, what you're doing here, and it's an amazing one of that, is on the far side across past the 18th green I'm looking at right now, the skills games that you actually have over there. And also another one running up the spine here. So real opportunity here for yourself and the casinos to test these skills-based gaming that you're actually putting in motion. So you can tell us a bit about that, of what you guys have put together.
Over the last year, we've tested those skills game. We have three different skills game. One is called the clock, and we've tested and we had numbers, and what we're finding out here are exactly what our findings were doing. So it is interesting. It is fun for the participant. We also have like the putt 69, where you have to make putt that increase in distance to accumulate points in order to try to score the maximum points. We also have this 100-foot putt for $100,000 where you need to qualify, sink two short putts out of four, and then move on to a 20-footer where you can actually make it, win some dollars, cash in, or put it back in play for a 30-footer and then for a 50-footer that would make you win $100,000. So a lot of learning. This is a laboratory. We're testing a lot of things, as you were saying. But I think those skills games were onto something. And definitely by bringing this crowd of golf fanatics, we're allowing them to win money using their skills on fun games.
Right. I think it's fair to say, because I've talked to a lot of the players, and they love it. They absolutely love it. So you've really focused and refined the player experience here. Is it fair to say that the next step, as 2018 and beyond, you're then going to have the opportunity for the fan experience, the connectivity, not just for the hardcore golfers, but to make this as an interactive experience for fans? And it seems like that, and creating content also. Am I right to think that that's the next step as you progress here?
But definitely, and this is a temporary facility. The findings that we made is we need to increase like the hospitality zone, although it's beautiful, like the terraces or during the day, at night, it's beautiful. But we want to create this like feel like this festive atmosphere at night where you want to stay, grab a beer, watch the game, those kind of things. So obviously for content, we're active on social media. We're going to have this broadcast on Fox Sport 1 for the Stroke Play Championship. And looking at this coverage, what I saw on TV by the producer, it looks amazing. Like live golf at night, under the lights, on a limited field of play where the action goes super fast. That was quite exciting to see the production of that and the guys in the booth are working on that production. But I think the end product is going to be quite spectacular. So we wanted this event. We wanted to showcase that it was fun for participants, and from the comments I got, everybody's unanimous on that. We wanted to create an event that ultimately would be fun for spectators, and I mean, obviously this is a first, but we're working on that aspect with the programming and the selection of the event, and we wanted an event that was made for TV, and I think we made the proof of concept for that, so we're very happy about that.
After speaking with Guillaume, I hung around the stadium venue to watch the rest of that night's tournament until around midnight. I returned the next morning where there was already lots of activity. The general public had the opportunity to show up, sign up, and play around on the 18-hole Jack Nicklaus design putting course. There were lots of people taking advantage of this opportunity, and I had the chance myself to get out there and play. Once I finished my round in about 30 minutes, I went over to the putting green, where there was lots of activity there also. All the players for the two-day All-Pro Championship were getting some work in before heading out for their practice round. I recognized one of the players who I haven't seen in a couple of years, so I decided to go over and have a chat.
I'm here with someone I've met before, and this is Melissa Mobanta. Actually, I haven't seen you in a couple years, so I'd love to hear what you're doing. So, Melissa, great to see you. So tell us about why you're here at MSOP Championships this week in Las Vegas.
Yeah, it's great to see you. I heard about MSOP from a fellow golfer on the Symetra Tour. And so I've been on that tour for 5 years and taking a little break back from golf and trying to love the game again, and heard about this event, and it sounds totally fun and definitely different, but something to enjoy the game again. And it's so innovative and just so cool. So it's definitely a really cool experience so far, and excited to see how tonight goes.
Very nice. Now, you are in the pro division. Can you tell us that, what you're going to be playing in tonight?
Yeah. So I'm in the all-pro division, and I want to say there's about 40 pros, a lot of PGA Tour guys that are here from the PGA Tour playing the Shriners event this weekend here in Vegas. So that's going to be exciting and maybe tough to beat, but I'm going to try to pull my own weight and see how I can compete against them. But I'm excited. I think it's match play. Play against my partner and try to beat him and carry on to the next event.
Very nice. Now, so we understand, so there's no women's division and men's division. This is head-to-head, women against men. So you're going to be playing straight up against the guys then, huh?
Yeah, head-to-head. I mean, I'm used to that. I play against the boys all the time, but I like it. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be a good battle.
Very nice. So how many competitors will there be in the pro division tonight? And how many, if you know, how many women are competing?
I want to say there are 40 players, 40 pros, and I think only 4 or 5 women that are actually competing against all the guys. So we're going to try to beat all those boys.
Good stuff. So we got about 10% representing the field here. So, well, best of luck. I'm going to be watching here tonight to see how well you do. So great to see you again. I look forward to talking to you a little bit later.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, so great to see you. It's been so long.
It has been. Thanks, Melissa. Good luck.
Thank you.
Melissa didn't manage to qualify for the All-Pro Championship Finals the next day, but MSOP already recognizes that she is the type of influencer, evangelist, and ambassador that they need to grow the sport. Speaking of ambassadors, I had the chance to meet up with Brad Faxon, who is the host of the Major Series of Putting All-Pro Championship.
I have the pleasure of speaking with Brad Faxon, who is Fox Sports golf analyst and also one of the best putters in the world. So, Brad, welcome to the Mod Golf Podcast, and I'd like to hear about what your thoughts of MSOP, and you just finished a round. What was that like out there today, Brad?
It's actually very exciting. You know, I've been involved since the beginning, and maybe before the beginning, when the concept first got bounced around and kicked around about coming to Las Vegas and building can you imagine, 18 holes on the strip here. So it's exciting. I know the people that have really been involved day-to-day have tried to make this what it is and, you know, have a big week of all different kinds of formats and competitions, and I mean, look at this. It's pretty neat, isn't it?
It is amazing. So I'd like to take a step back in time here. The first time you ever heard of MSOP, or what was the connection? Was it through Guillaume? Or I'd like to hear your first thought. Were you thinking, what the heck are you talking about? So I'd like to hear your first initial thought of MSOP.
It's a good story. I was playing in a senior tour pro-am day out in Quebec City 3 or 4 years ago now, and I recognized one of the names in my group as a former NHL hockey player named Stéphane Quintal. From Montreal, he played for the Bruins and played for the Canadiens, and he had a couple guys with him, and that one of the guys we kind of hit it off pretty well, who was from Montreal, was a good golfer, you know, he's a single digit player, and he's a Red Sox fan. So we just talked sports, family, golf. This guy's name was Marc Bruneau, who was really good friends with Guillaume, and I didn't know Guillaume at the time, but a year later Marc called me up. We had kept in touch and said, hey, we've got this concept, what do you think? And I don't know if I'm an obvious choice for this, but you know, I've played the tour for 35 years. I was a good putter. I was sitting on a board at the PGA Tour. I was sitting on a board at the PGA of America. I work for Fox Sports. We work with the USGA, and they wanted to get all this concept approved. And you know, we went to Fox Sports, to Golf Channel, to see if they'd be interested in being here for the week. But nobody could feel this. You know, it's like it was a concept that I don't think anybody had. It was kind of like 10 years ago, would you have believed in Topgolf? And now you see this pretty impressive crowd of people here tonight, and you'll see throughout the week some interesting and fun formats.
I like what you said there. It's like you have to cross that chasm of build it. It's that chicken and egg here for the startup or entrepreneurial dilemmas. Like, I love what you do, but until I can see it, I don't know if I want to actually buy into it or invest in that. So speaking of that, what we were both looking at, it's nighttime here, and it's like a jewel out here of what we're looking at with the 18 holes. So has this exceeded your expectations, or what are your thoughts on what you see here tonight?
You know, I've been getting some pictures sent to me the last few weeks from Guillaume of what the stadium looked like, what it looked like during the day, what it looked like at night. I haven't been here to see what it looks like lit up like this, but it's really, really neat. It's busy. I have to say, when I got announced on the first hole, and I said it when I spoke before we played, that everybody's been nervous when they've hit a putt, whatever level you've played at. Everybody's wanted to hit a putt to win their championship, and they're nervous. And we all can relate to what it feels like. And I was on that first tee feeling. That's what it's supposed to feel like.
Nice. And what was your score today there?
Well, I shot a couple under par. I had three hole-in-ones, birdies, whatever you'd call it here, and I three-putted one hole. So I was a little cautious early. You know, there are a few holes here that can get away from you if you get a little aggressive, and three putts aren't good in this format, but you got to make some aces, that's for sure.
You do, and I had a chance to play it earlier today, and actually I beat you. I was minus three. No, actually, that's a lie. Actually, I was even par. And actually, I was quite pleased with that because I'm an 18 handicapper, so the fact that you have this, and I talked to a lot of people out here that are average golfers like myself, and this is just the great equalizer with putting. I've talked to Guillaume about this and the connectivity and having women out here competing head-to-head with you guys here, and it is literally an even playing field here, so we think that with the team format, there's huge potential with this, so I'm curious what you think about the future of this in 2018 and beyond.
Well, There's a lot of ways I can go about answering your question, your statement there. That first of all, putting is the part of golf that anybody can do. You know, you don't have to have a certain age or a certain skill level or a certain strength level. You know, you can be any sex, race, whatever, to putt and to putt well. And you can enjoy it even if you're not good at it. So we thought this idea, if this could be something more permanent where people that are here in Las Vegas are looking for things to do, which everybody's always looking for different things to do, you can go out and putt for an hour. You could rent a putter or bring your own or buy one or get fitted for a putter or get a putting lesson. There's different ways you can grow the game. You know, you didn't think, like I said 10 years ago, that Topgolf would become as successful as it was by having food and beverage as part of your golf and, you know, having music. But I think we're on the right track.
I have to agree with you. I think the future for golf is very bright, especially connecting with a younger audience, of making it more social, cutting down the time, all those pain points that golf has suffered and trying to figure out for many, many years. And there's a multitude of solutions that are now being presented, with MSOP being one of them. So, hey, Brad, I won't take more of your time. Thanks so much for speaking with me today. I really appreciate it. Hopefully your minus two holds up on the leaderboard there to stay in the top 10.
Well, thanks. I know I need to shoot a little bit lower in the next round and get to the match play. And then I'm just excited that this thing's happening. There's a lot of smiling faces.
Good stuff. So we'll keep an eye on your score and see if you can progress for your minus two. Thanks again.
As I continued to walk around the SMOP stadium venue, I was really starting to appreciate the quality of the design. Not just the physical venue, but also the care that was taken for the player, fan, and staff experience. To accomplish this, Guillaume and the Major Series of Putting made the strategic decision to hire world-class design consultants. The 18-hole championship putting course was taken care of by Nicholas Designs, and the field of play was fabricated and installed by Southwest Greens. But all of these competition elements needed to sit inside an innovative, unique, and striking architectural statement. For this, MSOP turned to Populous, who are one of the world's top architectural firms for designing stadiums and sport experiences. Having worked in the sport architecture design profession for most of my previous career, I was very familiar with the work of Populous because they were the architectural firm that we were competing against and usually losing stadium design commissions to. Luckily for me, the architects were on site, giving me the opportunity to sit down with them and to learn about the design vision that went into the creation of MSOP Stadium. So I'm sitting here with the architects that have designed the stadium. I have Jeff Keyes and Bobby Sloan from Populous. So first of all, Jeff, starting with you, can you tell us a bit of the background here? When you first met Guillaume Bilan, the president and the visionary for this, when he first called you up, can you tell us that the first conversations and how you went from there to arrive to what you created here at Las Vegas?
Thank you. When Guillaume first called, to be quite honest, I think I had to ask him twice because he said, I have this idea of about a putting venue. And I said, I beg your pardon? He said, a putting venue. And I said, sounds fantastic. Tell me more. Because that's what you always say. He did tell me more. He told me more about it. And not only was it the content that Guillaume was telling me, but it was also the passion. You could hear the passion from Guillaume that he had for this. And that was really important. So we ended up going up, Bobby and I, we went up to Montreal to meet with Guillaume and his team and said, tell us even more. And they did. They told us more about their vision for this putting tournament that they wanted to host.
So Bobby, when you first got involved with this, you tell us what the original vision was and what you guys put in place. We're architects also, so we understand what a design charrette is. But you had a workshop. Can you tell us a bit about that, of where you started from and very quickly where you went to shape and craft what we're seeing here?
So the original vision was a touring flat pack facility, one that could travel around, be set up in Las Vegas for a few months at a time, come down and go on to the next location, do the same thing and travel around the world. So after that initial meeting in Montreal with Guillaume, we started our internal design process of saying, all right, what is a putting venue? What does it mean to go to the putting venue? And bounced around internal ideas and then brought Guillaume and rest of the MSOP team down to our office and hunkered down for 2 days in a full-on design charrette with several different ideas posted up on the wall. We compare it to either a kid in the candy store or walking in, and there's several different options and you don't know which one to choose from. But after those 2 days, we were able to settle on this vision of this circular facility, of circular field of play, and then this orange halo that hovers above.
Good stuff. And it's still daytime here right now as dusk will descend upon us fairly quickly here. This will light up. I know you guys haven't seen it firsthand yet, but it really does turn into a jewel, more like a crown, I guess you can say, is what you'll see. And I think you'll be very happy with the results that you have here. So, Jeff, can you tell us about the key elements here that you use for your design? Like, what was the point of departure here? I know there's a couple of elements here that you used as that springboard. Can you tell us what actually stayed from the original design intent and what has been amplified and what has also been added?
Well, I think we have to go all the way back to the beginning, which is the question of what is a putting venue? So what does that look like? And obviously we know that there's no precedent for that. There's nothing that really we can go and say, well, let's grab something maybe from a hockey venue or maybe from a basketball or from a soccer venue. You can't do that. This is completely new, which is also what made it really exciting for us because there were no rules. And we had to create the rules of what does a putting venue look like. So that was it. When Bobby was talking about having the MSOP come into our office and we had the workshop, we were really trying to figure out how does the sport work? We understand how hockey works. We understand how golf works, frankly. But we don't know how a putting championship venue works. So we had to learn the sport from the client initially. So as we learned that, we were able to then come up with various concepts of maybe what a field of play looks like so that we understood how the architecture around that field of play would work. How do we create that experience for that client journey from the moment that the player or the spectator arrives, comes through the front door, what's their experience all the way through check-in, through the food and beverage process, the hospitality component, onto the practice green, onto the actual playing surface? What is that whole client journey? So we're able to define that with the client.
So one of the other interesting aspects that you were touching on in our earlier conversation along this journey, also the player's journey, is that there is a playoff area. And last night they had a playoff and the energy that was amplified in the drama there. So the way you've actually designed this, Bobby, I'd like to hear a little bit more about that, about not only where this is now, but I also know this is, you can really say this is a version one. This isn't where you guys are stopping. As this grows next year and beyond, I'm sure in your mind that you're looking to increase the experience and the build out of this for the fans and the players. So perhaps you can start, if you can tell us a little bit about the player journey here with what you've created.
Well, with that journey, I think it's important to talk about this facility was never designed like a typical hockey, baseball, football facility where there is that separation of church and state between the participants and the spectators. We really tried to blur the lines there and bring them together, encourage participation, get people to go out and play around, enter into the tournament, participate in a skills game. So really to build that energy. So you essentially are blurring those lines. It was to really capture those different moments and the way you view golf, of being able to walk around, be able to sit up high and watch your favorite player from an elevated position, be able to relax in the clubhouse and just have a visual connection to it. However you wanted to view putting, to have that moment, but then to really celebrate that playoff moment and that tension building moment when there potentially could be thousands of dollars on the line with that playoff hole, and put that central, bring all the energy and all the emotion and tension of that putt to center stage in the facility and highlight that.
And 2 nights ago, we did see that in one of the competitions. He ended up winning $75,000, and the last putt on the 18th hole, it did not go to a playoff. But even the tension there with, and there were a couple hundred people around here, and the noise they made, it seemed like there were a couple of thousand around here. So those are the type of moments and the opportunities as this grows for that fan experience, for that immersive experience. So on that note of immersive fan experience, I know, Jeff, that plan in the future here is to have other immersive fan experiences on the periphery of this stadium with the design. Can you tell us a little bit about that, about what you're looking at the future here with MSOP?
the design that we have with the field of play in the middle, we have the round halo that kind of hovers above. That halo, there's an offset. There's a dimension, if you will, between the edge of the perimeter of the facility and the field of play. And we just basically look at it as an empty container, if you will, to fill with creative ideas. It can be sponsor-driven. It can be hospitality-driven. It can be participant skills game-driven. So all these things are really on the table with MSOP. It doesn't always have to be about putting. Probably lends itself towards golf and lends itself towards maybe more sports bar interaction. But that's exactly what we want to do, is create the ability, the option to add anything really we think we can or want, and then change that out over time so it never gets stale. That's the whole idea. Keep it fresh all the time.
No, I like that. It seems you have the opportunity here to plug and play different elements. In the future here, you could have it on that entertainment side. That why couldn't you have a band afterwards? Why couldn't you have a DJ here having something afterwards as part of that stickiness? That, yeah, the golf is the engine for this, but there's more entertainment experiences before, during, and after while you're doing that. And speaking about the immersive nature of this, where I'm looking at the scoreboard right now, and I have to say, it's impressive here with the graphics and the engagement that the fans have and the players have to really follow the action here. And I also know this is only the starting point for them of how they can take it even farther, and we're familiar with the group SMT that's doing all the graphics. I'd like to hear from you, Bobby, if you've actually worked directly with them and they were part of the design process with you, if they informed how this was designed from an architectural standpoint with the graphics aspect of that.
This is my first project working directly with SMT. I think we've worked on the periphery on some of their back-end stat and scoring functions on other projects, but we knew initially that this presentation side for the facility would be very important to get everybody their hero moment. Jeff and I had the luxury just to go play a couple rounds out there, and standing out there, having our photos and names up there on the video board. It's cool. It's even for a couple of us that go to several events throughout my 10 years of experience and Jeff's 20, it's cool to see your moment up there. You get your hero moment and the live scoring, the tracking, and then as this evolves and progresses to start getting more video, get more of the sport presentation side, the scripted moments in there, I think just will bring more vibrancy and energy to this facility.
Because another aspect we haven't talked about is the broadcast and content creation side, not only here for people to experience firsthand, but also to push out. Fox Sports was here for a couple of days creating some content for them. So with your design brief, how are you thinking about that as far as the actual physical infrastructure and how that will be framed as content that's created for broadcast? Yeah, Jeff, you can just share your thoughts of not only how what you've designed here looks to the eye on the ground here, but also to someone that's actually taking the content in a broadcast capacity.
So we've been working now with MSOP for a couple years now. One of the original list of criteria that we set out was to understand the broadcast side of it, the TV audience, the viewing audience. So we knew we could get maybe a couple thousand, few thousand at max within this facility if it were to be fully built out. But we really want to also take into account that TV audience. So when we did our initial design concepts, we did think about television camera platforms, and we thought about where's the commentator at as opposed to the sport presentation individual, and how do we look at video boards? So all that was certainly played into it. We wanted to think about broadcast and the broader term worldwide, right? Worldwide, how's that audience going to view this sport in the macro and in the micro?
Oh, that's great. And I'm sure, because I know you're involved with Red Bull and lots of other sport properties out there too. And Red Bull and Dew Tour is also a great example. We've been to some of their events. They are very, very adept at getting 1,000 people in there. And then the way they actually shoot this with the layering, compacted with the layers of the shot, and they framed it, it looks like there's 10 or 20,000 people in there. And it's just genius. And it is by design. And it sounds like the way you design this physically can help amplify that with that opportunity. All right, this has been great, guys. So Bobby Sloan and Jeff Keys from Populous, the architecture firm that has designed the MSOP Stadium in Las Vegas. Thanks for your time today, guys. Really appreciate it. So I'm here with Marcia Mendoza, one of the competitors here at MSOP today. So Marcia, tell us your story here of what brought you here, how you heard about it, and what you are competing in today.
Well, I started playing golf about 10 years ago, and putting is definitely one of the best parts of the game that I like to practice, and I consider myself okay at it. So I saw, about last year, the marketing for this competition, and I was really excited to just test out my game, and that's why I'm here.
Very nice. So Marcia, tell us about the competition that you're in today and what you've already done the first couple of rounds and what you're playing for today.
So I'm playing in the amateur championship, and I shot 2 over yesterday. one over. We played two rounds yesterday, so I was one over in each round. So I had some birdies, but I also had some three putts that I'm going to try to eliminate today. We will play two more rounds and the final tonight. My goal is definitely be in the top 10, if not better.
Good stuff. Well, best of luck with that tonight when you're out there. So you love the putting aspect of the game. So I saw you have a very nice putting stroke, but I'm also curious about golf in general. How long have you been playing golf for? And really, how does golf fit into your life, both personally and professionally?
Golf is a huge part of my life. I practice whenever I can, always making time for golf. My friends usually complain that I'm not available for parties or any other engagements. I'm also always on the course playing. I also play in the golf club for UC Merced, which is a program that I started about a year and a half ago because we didn't have any golf club or a team, and I thought that we had to. So I'm doing my part to grow the game, and I appreciate when other people do the same, especially for women. I get really excited when I see women on the course. We've had two other women here in this competition, so we're slowly getting there.
Well, on that note, that takes me to my next question is to grow the game. And one of the wonderful opportunities here with the major series of putting is strength and power are not required here. So it really is the great equalizer here with putting. So we need to get more women out here, more competitive women. We had some in the pro event the other day. Unfortunately, none of them managed to qualify for the final round. One almost did, came very close in a playoff there and just missed. But would love to see you and all your friends out here next year. Maybe as this grows over the next couple of years, let's hope that we get a 50-50 representation out here with women and men, because there's no reason why it could not be that way.
Yeah, that is so true. I'm still trying to understand. I know there's some different responsibilities in life for, you know, male and females, and I think women decide not to play golf because it takes a little more time out of their lives, but hopefully we'll get more people, more women excited, more women out there and decide, and they'll hopefully make some time for it. You definitely have to make time for it.
You absolutely do. One of the great things about this is we know a round only takes about less than half an hour to get out there. It depends how slow it gets, especially with hole number three, which has been rather treacherous with some big scores out there this week, but it does not take that long to play. But do you also find that with women, and we've talked to quite a few people on the podcast, and one woman actually, Elisa Godet, who is the founder of Women's Golf Day, one of the big hurdles they're trying to knock down is the intimidation factor and the fact that a lot of women feel intimidated coming out with the game. Are you finding that with your friends also, and perhaps more might be encouraged to come out and give this a shot, just like you've done here this week?
Interesting to hear that. I'm definitely not intimidated. I go out on my golf course. I love when I'm playing with my friends, especially girlfriends, but if I don't have a partner for the day, I just grab my bag, I go to the course, and I ask them to fill me in, and I'm usually playing with boys, so definitely not intimidated. I did get some of my girlfriends to play, and they don't feel intimidated either. They actually enjoy the game. Yep.
Well, that's great. Well, I'll leave that to you then next year to make sure all your girlfriends come out. When we see you again, I want to see at least a half a dozen of out here. So that is my challenge to you next year. Well, thank you very much for your time today, and best of luck in the tournament event this afternoon for you.
Thank you so much. Yes, I will bring some girlfriends next year. You'll get to talk to them too.
Good stuff. Look forward to that.
If you'd like to learn more about Marcia, Melissa, Populous, Guillaume, or Brad Faxon, go to the Mod Golf Podcast website, modgolf.fireside.fm, where in the episode show notes, we've included pictures and relevant content links. We also have a bio page for each one of our guests, so you can learn more about them too. And we're also rolling out a new feature starting this week on the Mod Golf Podcast. We now have the Mod Golf Podcast YouTube channel, where we've posted video content from our four-day MSOP Las Vegas experience. Our first YouTube post is me taking you on a stadium tour. If you like what you hear on this podcast episode, please have a look at the content we're posting on our brand new YouTube channel. Let us know what you think, and if you like what you see, please subscribe to our channel.
So I'm here speaking with Brent Walker, who's a project manager with SMT, and SMT is the company that's done all the amazing graphics and scoring here. So Brent, thanks for joining me today on the Mod Golf Podcast. So starting off, I want to ask you the question. So how did you guys originally get involved with the major series of putting? Why don't we start with that as far as how the relationship first started when this was just at the conceptual stage?
MSOP and SMT got together through our business development manager, Jeff Corella. I think it's been a couple year relationship now. We filmed a commercial for the major series of putting about a year and a half ago out in TPC in Sawgrass. And Brad Faxon was the headliner of the commercial. We shot that and just been moving forward with the tournament directors and the operations crew at MSOP and found a good fit for us as far as our scoring network, as far as our graphic designs. So it's worked out so far. It's been a good relationship.
Good stuff. Now, what I understand with SMT, you guys work with the PGA and all kinds of professional events also, in tennis and other sports too, from my understanding too. So this is what you guys do for a living. So I'm very interested to hear, doing a lot of traditional golf events, this is very unique in the sense that this is a new sporting event. So how did you take, as designers, what you've learned over the years from traditional golf to actually create something very unique and compelling and engaging for the fans and the athletes here at the MSOP Stadium?
Well, that's been quite a challenge. The traditional scoring network that we use, the scoring system, is for traditional four-round golf play for PGA, USGA tournaments. Incorporating our software to format a putting tournament has been quite a challenge. There have been some tweaks because there's so many events with different types of scoring formats. Again, we had to tweak our software quite a bit. It hasn't been as challenging as we thought, but we have some great developers. And again, our walking scores doing all the scoring data input have been really great. So there's been some hiccups here and there, but I don't think anybody's actually noticed what we've been doing upstairs. So we've gotten everything down to a T right now, and everything's been running smoothly.
And I will say, what you guys actually have on the board here, it's compelling and also it's easy to follow. That sometimes you get, I'm sure you guys deal with this all the time, with just information overload, that there's just too much and then people just can't absorb that. And one of the interesting things I wanted to ask you about is not just the scores here, Brent, but also I see you have real-time updates on each hole as far as the average score with a slider graphic. And so what kind of innovations have you come up with? You'd even tell us a little bit about that and how that works even on the software, the back end there, to actually create those real-time graphics there with the holes.
Yeah, sure. So we do real-time graphics for any of the sporting events we do. And again, you're right. As far as the leaderboard goes, we don't want to make it too cluttered because too busy makes people look a little bit confused. So we have a pretty good balance of graphics that we do show at one time. Per each event, we like to show, obviously, event graphics. And it all comes down to the handhelds. The walking scores that we have these devices, and they follow groups around the course. And when they input scores, it only takes about 5-10 seconds for our system to incorporate those scores, turn it around, and then distribute it to where it needs to go, whether it be on our TIC, which is the tournament information channel, throughout the clubhouse, or also to the leaderboard, which you see behind me. They update pretty quickly, and again, it's all about the walking scores doing a great job. A lot of the graphics are very new as far as average scores per hole, birdies, pars, bogeys per hole, per week, per event. So a lot of the graphics that you see, they do have a lot of information, and I think the fans are really enjoying it.
I think they are too, so far, from what I've seen. So I want to ask you this. On the Mod Golf Podcast, we do also look into the future, not just what is right now and being innovative, but also what could be down the line. So I'd like to get your thoughts here of what could possibly be as far as, let's say, if we look at what for broadcast, for example, if you see with TrackMan and other groups as far as the ball flight and actually tracking the ball, what are your thoughts about how you can actually embed that type of technology and graphics into the putting here? Not quite here yet with the first go-around here at SMOP, but I'd like to hear your thoughts on that and where the graphics could go with this putting competition.
Well, I'll tell you, Colin, we've been in discussion about that very same topic over the past couple weeks, just getting here, setting up, seeing how this tournament is running. As far as what we can do, to be honest with you, the sky's the limit. I don't want to give away too much information, but we are working on what we can do for 2018, and it's going to be very spectacular, I can say that.
Well, we look forward to seeing that, Brent. So thank you very much for your time today. This has been great to learn about SMT and what you guys are doing, and we look forward to seeing 2018 and beyond for all the graphics you guys produce for the fans and the players here at MSOP.
Thank you very much, and we look forward to a great finish to 2017 and a spectacular 2018.
So I'm speaking with Alex Phillips, who just finished up her round at the Pro Championship here at MSOP. I saw Alex and I looked at her and I'm thinking to myself, I know you from somewhere, and where I know you from is World Long Drive. So wait a second here. So you are a World Long Drive competitor and putting. So come on, Alex, tell me about this.
One of very few that can do both. A lot of long drivers. It's a different sport than golf, so a lot of long drivers are just long drivers, but some of us are able to cross over. You saw Jamie Sadlowski came out on the Canadian tour. There's a couple of us that do both, but it is always a surprise because I'm used to having the long stick, not the flat stick.
Absolutely, and I was surprised. So, okay, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Maybe this is an unfair question. I got to ask it anyway. So if you had to choose between long drive and putting, which one would you choose?
Well, that is a tough question. I love long drive, the adrenaline and everything. I would absolutely choose long drive if we went back to four balls, because I think that takes a little more skill and a little more golf skill than long drive now with eight balls does, where there's a lot of competitors in it that you don't have to be quite as skilled, you just have to be fast. Whereas putting, like, it was, I've never been that nervous. Like, there's 18 holes and I was doing so good on the front, and then like my heart started pumping. It was like, it was just like being on the grid. So there's kind of both. Right now though, since I'm here, I gotta pick putting.
That was a very good answer to a very unfair question. So well played there. So when did you first hear about Major Series of Putting to get yourself here at this event today?
I actually just ran into the qualifier when I was practicing one day here in Nevada. There were a bunch of qualifiers being in Vegas that they were getting ready for the MSOP. So I was just practicing and heard about it. And so last week I was in Florida, and I flew home, got off the plane, and my dad and I went and qualified through the local qualifier. And so he's actually competing tonight as well. And so it's kind of cool that we're both doing it. We originally found it accidentally, but then I've kept in touch with the guys running it and kind of found qualifiers that I could do around here.
Very nice. So you stumbled upon it here. So did you have any idea of the stadium was being built? So when you showed up here, did you have any expectations of what it's going to be like and what we're looking at here, out here with everybody playing right now?
Oh my gosh. If you talk to Eric Thibodeau, who's part of marketing with the MSOP, I was like a kid in a candy store the first time I walked in here. I was like, my eyes got big. I was like, this is crazy. This stadium is phenomenal. I saw the 3D renderings of it. I saw the idea behind it. But you never really know, you know? Like, people have these great ideas, and sometimes it just doesn't come out. And this is an arena. It's not just a stadium. It's an arena, and it's awesome.
Now, you played earlier today, or just finished up your round, so you have a second round now, and if you manage to qualify, then you go to the round of 16, I believe. And what I really love about this is you're not playing in a women's division, you're playing head-to-head against the guys. The fact that putting really, quite literally, is leveling the playing field here, that you have this opportunity here. With long drive, of course, you can't crush it like 465 yards like some of the guys can, like Justin James can and them, so I'm sure you see that. How do you like that, of playing head-to-head against the guys?
It's great in putting. Whenever I do long drive, I get a yard per pound of body weight difference. So I have a chance. That's just when I'm playing with the boys during practice. I can't compete with the guys in long drive. I wish I could, but they are bigger than me and stronger than me. And I'm really long for a girl, but my 377 is nothing compared to the boys. It's longer than most men, but it's not compared to long drivers. So it's awesome being on the putting green here because, yeah, putting's a pretty level playing field. There are some great putters out here. Brad Faxon's out here. Sam Ryder's out here. PGA players. And we're able to play with them and compete. I was up on the leaderboard with them earlier, so we'll see how the second round goes.
Well, best of luck with that second round. Hopefully you manage to eke your way up the leaderboard so you can make that final 16 tomorrow. So, Alex, best of luck, and thanks for your time today on the Mod Golf Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
So we ended up meeting so many great people with interesting stories over the 4 days in Las Vegas. We decided that rather than jamming all these great stories into one long episode, why not break it up into two? So this week we have the chance to meet some of the players and the creators of the MSOP Las Vegas Championships. But next week we're going to dig a little bit deeper into some of the other innovative and interesting elements that shape this new golf competition event. Next week we'll find out more about the skills-based gaming and how MSOP Stadium has become a test kitchen as casinos look for new ways through engaging betting to attract a younger audience. We will also be speaking to some of the sponsor partners who are embedding their products in this immersive competition experience. I will also be speaking with a couple more competitors, including a dad who drove all the way across the country from New York with his 8-year-old son to compete in multiple putting championships here in Las Vegas. I did mention earlier that we now have the Mod Golf Podcast YouTube channel, so please check that out and tell us what you think. And if you happen to be at the PGA show in Orlando late January, I will be moderating the Golf Disruptors panel, where I will be sitting down with five of my previous podcast episode guests to talk about the future of golf and how they are helping to shape it. I'm Colin Weston. Thanks for listening to the Mod Golf Podcast. Please join me next week. Bye for now.